You know, not necessarily, because I'll tell you, there may be some teams that just have their eyes on Matt Flynn going forward. There may be teams that just have their eyes on RG3, since we know where Andrew Luck is going.
Right.
Maybe it's teams that have just decided we're going to make the play on RG3. Maybe there's some that like Ryan Tannehill that we just don't know about yet. And at this time last year, if I were to tell you Jake Locker would be the eighth player pick, Christian Ponder would be the 12th player pick, probably look at me like I had five heads. It's just how it is. But, you know, quarterbacks have a tendency to rise, which is why I think Ryan Tannehill is going to be a very interesting guy to watch going forward, especially for teams that aren't able to address the quarterback position sufficiently in their minds. If they think that he's worth a first-round pick, Seattle, for example, now they won the coin flip today. Does he go at number 11, perhaps, a West Coast system, West Coast quarterback? Does he go there to the Miami Dolphins if they can't get Matt Flynn or Peyton Manning? Go for a Ryan Tannehill, since he was coached by Mike Sherman, Dolphins' new offensive coordinator, while he was in college at Texas A&M. So I think in some cases, if Peyton Manning is your cup of tea, yes, but there are going to be some teams that look at that medical and say, yikes. You know, I mean, yeah. there may not be as big a market for his services. And even though the Tom Kahn and his agent, that side is spinning, everything's great, Shangri-La, and he's working out. That is true. But four neck surgeries in a two-year span, and a 36-year-old guy, and you don't know about the arm strength, and he was never the most mobile guy to begin with. I'd say not to disparage Peyton Manning, because he's one of the greatest quarterbacks, and he's at a different level, in my opinion, Vic, just because he did so much more in so many ways. Calling the plays, every Tuesday the game planning that would go in, Peyton would pick his plays, and then the coordinators would work around that. So I'm not doing that, but I just have to be very real about where this guy is at, and I think other NFL teams are going to do the same.
Matt Flynn, so intriguing, just because you're going to make a judgment on a very limited body of work. You're going to have to really trust your ability to project what he looks like as a consistent starter. I know you could say, you can look at those flashes of greatness, that final game that he played in the 2011 season and six touchdown passes, and say, what else do you need? But obviously you need a lot more than a single game, as great as that might have been, to know how sustainable that is. And that's the challenge. So help me figure out how the GMs in this league, how the coaches in this league, when they study Flynn as a potential pickup in free agency, are going to arrive at the conclusion that it is sustainable.
Well, I think you got to look at some preseason games. I think sometimes too, and again, Bill Polian gave me a great idea that they do, is sometimes they watch things back to back to back. Like, they'll look at three quarterbacks in a row back to back to back to just get an idea, how do these guys stack up? If you've got a real, like, a cluster of players, wide receivers, back to back to back. Well, I think in Flynn, you're looking back to back to back from what his first preseason, or maybe second, third preseason game, to his body of work now against the Detroit Lions. And that was a flag football game, by the way. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but from the way the Lions were playing defense, that's how it was. So, you know, that was something that was going on there with Green Bay and Detroit. He cut him up. But I also look back to that game against the Patriots in his first NFL start, how the kid didn't flinch.
Sure.
The thing that is so hard for me to judge on him, Vic, especially if the Cleveland Browns do have an interest in him, which has been reported by the Canton Repository. Not sure how legit it is. No knock on Steve or anything like that in his reporting, but we just don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's surrounded by so much more talent in Green Bay. From a wide receiver, tight end standpoint, and even the offensive line to an extent, because the Browns still have problems on the right side of their line, but so much more talent than what Colt McCoy had. And I think that is the real curious question. How much of an upgrade is he from Colt McCoy? Can he get by? If you gave Colt McCoy the same talent, where does he rank? And that is such a tough, because this is a Browns organization that's really, again, and it's redundant, but it's at a crossroads again.
Sure.
You know, fan base obviously get, you know, upset. You haven't won a playoff game since the team's been back. Quarterback position still unsettled. Got to decide, is Colt our guy, or do we need to move on? Because you're starting to get year three of Holmgren and Heckert. And after a while, the sands in the hourglass begin to run out if you're not able to produce on the field.
Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we broadcast from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Alex, the other positions offensively, which is, of course, the focus of the Browns, wide receiver, offensive line, you have those needs, and you look at this draft, and then you have what they have going into this draft, the nine picks that they have, and you know where they're positioned and so forth. Are they in a good place to, given what this draft has to offer, to hit some real key needs out of this draft and have the success? Because the run has been pretty good here the last 2 years of drafting defensive players, four starters in the last two defensive drafts, to have that same similar thing happen from offense this year.
You know, this is the thing that concerns me about this draft, and maybe some kids are going to start to really separate themselves in the minds of personnel directors, not media, personnel directors, but I only see three surefire picks in this draft, is 1, 2, 3. Andrew Luck, RG3, Matt Khalil. And I see Matt Khalil as being with the Minnesota Vikings. I think when you're picking at number four, you're in a little bit of a tough spot. I don't know if anyone would want to trade up to draft a player. Now, Justin Blackmon, to me, would be the guy that seems to make sense at number four. But it's funny. He plays bigger than he is. I thought the guy was Megatron. I really did, watching him play at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
He's about 6'3". Yeah. And that's not a knock, but he's not that huge gazelle-type wide receiver.
Right.
He's not going to run the fastest either. Now, you look at him, you know, in games, and his football speed is going to be better than his track speed. In fact, I don't believe he's running here at the scouting combine, so he'll do it on his pro day track. But, you know, when kids don't run, it sort of raises a question, you know, well, why aren't you running? You're trying to hide something? I mean,
sure.
why not do it here? So I think if you're the Browns and you're faced with that scenario and no one else wants to trade up, and I don't envision anyone else wanting to trade up, you're probably going Justin Blackmon at four. You're probably going offensive line in the second round. You're looking at a right tackle there because you're not drafting a right tackle that high up. You're not drafting a left tackle at that point in the draft. It's just messy, and you don't want to draft, and, you know, you don't need another corner. You know, you have Hayden, and he's obviously a young rising star. I just don't know if there's very much else that fits the needs that this team has, and I think it's too early to draft Trent Richardson. We don't know the status of Peyton Hillis.
I was going to say the next question was running back and whether Richardson, because that question comes up an awful lot from Browns fans thinking, well, if you're in a quandary or have uncertainty with Hillis, you can go ahead now and get a Trent Richardson, but I worry about how high I want to draft a running back.
Yeah, it's the fair question. Can you get a Lamar Miller in the second round? You also have two first-round picks in Cleveland. You know, that's another great part of this, too, in this draft. So now you're going ahead. Your value is going to be with that second pick in the draft. And then at that point, you may be able to take best player available. I'm not saying Trent Richardson's going to be there, but keep an eye on Lamar Miller from the University of Miami. There's talent at the running back position. And then the other thing we have to find out, Vic, what is going on when it comes to free agency? What are the moves that the Browns are going to make?
Yeah.
How many of these things can we address? And that's why it gets a little bit tricky. And the other thing that I think is going to change the dynamic so much of what's going on right now is the fact that free agency isn't starting immediately after the combine. Vic, you know how it was. You know,
it was starting almost, it was at the cut, right? I mean,
but so you'd have these deals that were set up in advance, and then all of a sudden, boom. Well, now we have a talk. You can go shop that deal if you quote unquote, you know, tamper or whatever. You get an idea of the market, let's say. Okay, then you go back to the team and you give the team a chance to go ahead and move some things around and go from there. Look at the franchise tags, how different that is. Normally, the franchise designations have to be in by now. At this point, now you're going to March 5th. So, again, more wiggle room going forward for teams to be able to work out deals like the Green Bay Packers did with JerMichael Finley to sign a player and avoid that franchise tag. So, players that we think may be on the market now may not be done. Give you an example. What if the Chiefs go ahead and reach a long-term deal with Dwayne Bowe? All of a sudden, Brandon Carr probably gets their franchise tag, and one of the best corners and wide receiver combinations is off the market. So, again, this is what's so tricky about this and just very different than in previous years because of the deadline dates.
Quentin Coupels, a defensive end from North Carolina, is he fascinating enough to you to say there's the guy that if you're not 1,000% sure about the, quote, offensive prospect that fits a need, you go here and it's safe because he's you know, we're at this premium pass rush position. You're probably not getting a guy anything close to this anywhere else in this draft, and maybe even not in free agency.
Fair question. And you know, the free agency, again, another question. Is there a Mario Williams available?
Right.
I mean, you start with him, but Cliff Averill. I mean, you just go down the list of some decent pass rusher. I mean, very good.
Who may or may not be there.
Right. So you're going down that road. Look, Couples, the big question with him is the motor.
Yeah.
You know, at times he shows it, at times he doesn't. Now, if you just have him standing there in a UNC uniform, you're getting flashbacks to Julius Peppers, which is great. Now, does he play like Julius Peppers? You know, that's the zillion-dollar question.
That's quite a comparison.
You know, but it's not – you know what? If the Browns were to take him at number four, theoretically, I have no problem with that pick just because, like you said, the premium at pass rushes, and you just hope that someone's going to be able to light a fire under him to keep him playing at a high level, you know, on a consistent basis.
And the comparison is, you know, you look at Jabal Sheard on the other side, that motor never stops. So
right.
So the standard's already been set that if you're going to be opposite him on that defensive line, you'd better be up to that standard. Because that's what the expectation would be.
And I love the future of this Browns defensive line. Italo Reuben, you know how about a big fan I am of him.
Yes.
I think the most underrated defensive lineman in the NFL. I think that this guy
by
is
far.
So phenomenal in being disruptive, making plays. He can just blow up guards, and he's never taken plays off. I think Phil Taylor's going to be even better in his second NFL season. I mean, hey, the groundwork's being laid on one side of the football. And it's just, it's just so wild to me that now it's the offensive side that Mike Holmgren, an offensive specialist, is having to be built. It's a tricky deal.
Can you see as you look at how things come together for the team, I mean, as competitive as they were, as close as they were in so many games, and now you look at the broader AFC North, you have a Pittsburgh team with all sorts of cap issues to resolve. And, you know, I know they're going to work out some, and maybe that'll solve a lot of things that that look like problems now. A Baltimore Ravens team that has some age on its defense, like the Steelers do, on you know, mostly on the defensive side. So can you see any openings and possibilities? And I say all this knowing full well that Cincinnati, a young team with some very young, talented people there, do you see any opening, any wiggle room being created in the AFC North anytime soon for this Browns team, as long as it's doing its part to improve, to have room to move up?
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Why not? I mean, look, hey, you just got to start splitting games, right? Let's say you can split games with the Pittsburgh Steelers to start instead of sweep. But let's say you can go ahead and split with the Baltimore Ravens. You know, you got to first, you got to beat your division rivals. I mean, Cincinnati, I think
you know, you can't go 0-6 in your division.
No, I believe I believe the Browns did. Cincinnati beat them last year.
Yes,
I'm trying to remember
did.
In the
Twice.
Opener. Yeah.
Yes.
So it was early on, and the Bengals shocked the world. Everyone thought Andy Dalton would lose on the road in his first game, and didn't turn out that way.
Set the tone for a really strong Dalton season, obviously.
And set the tone, unfortunately, for the Browns going the other direction.
So,
but, you know, you mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'd like to segue into something here about veteran leadership on the offensive side of the ball. If Hines Ward gets released by the Pittsburgh Steelers, forget about Mike Wallace and the Browns and all that, okay? My feeling is make a run at Hines Ward.
Really?
Because he's not going to be the deep threat. But you know what? He's going to block like the Dickens. The guy is going to provide so much leadership inside your locker room about the way to do things. You know, I mean, on the offensive side of the ball, you have, I'm not sure how vocal a leader Joe Thomas is, but name me the offensive leaders. Name me the veteran guys that have been there. They're all guys that are in a
rebuilding process. They're quiet. I mean, they're guys who try to do it by example.
How about the swagger that Hines Ward would bring? Do you think, by the way, you think that this guy would want to get back at the Steelers twice a year if they snubbed him and didn't want him to return?
And think of the dance lessons he could be providing.
Amen. I tell
Especially
you what.
Especially to me.
You know what, Vic? Oh, come on, dude. Rhonda says that you know all the moves on the dance floor. I know that's how you woot her. Come on, man. Mrs. Carucci, she knows, bro. Come on.
Yeah, they call me old tripper. Anyway, good stuff, great stuff. Alex, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Anytime, Vic. Be good, baby.
He is Alex Marvez from FoxSports.com, SiriusXM, NFL Radio, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.